Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Your daily encouragement that God has the world in the hollow of his hand. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio. If we're going to fly, we fly like eagles.
Today is the fourth and final day of our Faith Radio fundraiser, so this is a special edition of Mornings with Carmen. Hey, don't miss out on the opportunity to jump in. You can do it right now online at myfaithradio.com or by texting the word GIVE to 877-933-2484. Let me ask you, what's new with you today? What's new? Like, that's a short question, right? Longer question. What's new with you? What's new in the world? What's newsworthy? What good news do you have to share? I'll share this news with you today. God is making all things new. That is some good news, isn't it? God is making all things new, including me and you. God is very busy today. He is at work in you, among you, among us, through you, right? God is very busy today. So we want to be busy with the things of the Father's business today. And so I must encourage you in your walk of faith with the Lord today. April is Donate Life Month. Did you know that? You may not have known that. April is Donate Life Month. How do you donate life? Think about that for a moment. Well, do you have a little like donor, organ donor indicator on your driver's license? Mine looks like a heart. What does it mean to donate life? In your family, do you have a testimony about, you know, one person's life that's been now given and transplanted into the life of somebody you love? We have a story like that in my family. There's a story out of Houston, Texas that I thought, let's tell this story. Let's tell Tucker's story as a acknowledgement of what it means to have one person give their life to save another. Because Tucker's family is celebrating his second birthday. And that is because of the generous gift of a donor family. So here you go. Here's Tucker's story. Tucker was like 2 months old, and his mom just started noticing things that just didn't seem right to her. So she'd actually taken him to the ER three different times and been sent home. Basically, you know, he has acid reflux, or, you know, turn him over in the other way. Well, her mother's sense of things, right? She was like, something is wrong with my kid. So she went to a different hospital. And within 15 minutes of arriving at Texas Children's, not only was her concern confirmed, but her little 2-month-old son was intubated, and she was told that he was in heart failure. He needed a heart transplant. Tucker's parents are Christians, and they prayed that God would help them know what to do, because even the conversation about getting on the list, even the conversation about, you know, what kind of life a heart transplant recipient of his age would have, and all of the pricks and pokes and ongoing things that would be required throughout his life, right? And so Faye Lynn is his mom. And she said, you know what? As we were praying that God would lead us and God would help us know what to do, she said, I was just getting positive signs all along the way that we were meant to fight for Tucker's life. So here's a list of some of the signs that she felt like God gave her in the moment. The names of the two nurses that were in the room while Tucker was being intubated, their names are Grace and Faith. Tucker's cardiologist was Dr. Hope. Dr. Hope was searching for a nurse that was coming on duty. And Dr. Hope said, hey, Miracle is going to be watching you. Faylin says, wait, I'm sorry. What did you say? And she said, your nurse's name, the one who'll be watching over you, is Miracle. And Phelan says, that's when I just put up my hands and said, okay, God, I get it. I get it. And we signed the papers. And we knew that although the journey would be long and there would be many tests along the way, God was good and with us. So at that point, Tucker got what's called a Berlin heart pump, and he would live on that heart pump. It would do the work of his heart until a transplant was identified. And you say to yourself, I wonder how long that takes. A two-month-old baby, how long is that going to take for the right heart to be available? And whose heartbreak is going to be required in order for a heart to be made available for this little boy? Well, after many, many months, there was a match in March of 2023. And Faye Lynn says, although we experienced great relief and happiness, we also paused to mourn for another family who was experiencing excruciating loss of their beloved baby in order that ours could live. That's the way heart transplants work. One person has to die in order for another person to live. Our Growing Your Faith verse of the day comes from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, where it says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Tucker healed quickly. He is 2 years old, tolerating his medicines quite well. Phelan says, we cherish every extra day that we get with him. He's running, he's happy, he's laughing, he's smiling. It's just amazing. It is new life. I want you to consider that one family had to make a great sacrifice in order that Tucker could have a new heart and a new life. And I want you to also consider that God has made a great sacrifice in order that you could have a new heart, that a new spirit could dwell within you, that you could live and run and be happy and laugh and smile. That's the way heart transplants work. One person has to die in order for another person to live. Jesus is the one who has given his life in order that you could have a new heart and a new spirit and a new story. One family's sacrifice made Tucker's life story possible. And during this fundraising week, we do ask you to consider what sacrifice God is asking you to make to the mission of Faith Radio, that stories of new life might be told generation to generation. Would you join us in our Faith Radio Spring Fundraiser? You can do it online at myfaithradio.com or by texting the word GIVE to 877-933-2484. There's all kinds of topics that Christians think they shouldn't be talking about, that we're afraid to talk about. Mike Novotny is a friend. His book is Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. And my conversation with Mike is next here on this special edition of Mornings with Carmen. Mike Novotny is here. We're going to talk about all the things it's not appropriate to talk about. All the things we've been told not to talk about, we're going to talk about them. The book is Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. We are giving away copies today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Mike heads up the ministry of Time of Grace. It's the name of the podcast. You can find it at timeofgrace.org. Mike, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Carmen.
Mm-hmm. Talking about all the things we're not supposed to be talking about. What should we be talking about that we don't often talk about?
Oh, yeah, there's a long list on the cover of the book. There's pornography,
but many
politics,
many of them
race.
Are blacked out, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cover of the book is like blacked out, but it has this UV effect that if you put it in the light, it kind of pops out. So abuse, abortion, marital intimacy, sex, sexual orientation, gender, depression, anxiety, suicide. Kind of the premise of the book is that, you know, these are such difficult, emotional, personal, awkward topics that often in Christian families or in Christian churches or in small groups, we might be dealing with these things. We might have questions about these things, but we're too scared to talk about these things. And that comes at a great cost. I've experienced that personally and seen that pastorally. So that's what I'm kind of getting at in this book, an evangelical two-handed shove to let's talk about that thing, even if we need an extra stick of deodorant. Because on the other side of that awkwardness, God has a really great blessing for his people.
So earlier today in the first hour, we actually talked with Kay, who she is like a living testimony of what your book addresses. So at 19, she had an abortion. I mean, she's now, you know, grandmother age. But she lived with that secret for a long, long time. And it was that secret that made it impossible for her to have the kind of depth and intimacy of relationships that we are supposed to be free to have in Jesus. But when you have this secret thing, this and the secret itself then becomes the power of the enemy over you to isolate you and to keep you always on the edge of being found out or discovered. And so then you build these walls. I mean, like on and on and on. And so we have had a living testimony today in the person of Kay about exactly what you're talking about in this book. So if you were listening earlier and you were saying to yourself, I'm a Kay, I have something in my life, in my history that I have been hiding for so long that now it's hiding me. Then this is the book for you, because this is going to help you not only find that way to your own point of confession, but be the kind of person that others are going to find safe to talk with about the things that we never talk about. The book is Taboo, topics Christians should be talking about but don't. Again, now that you know what it's about, you're interested. So we're giving away copies today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Mike, what keeps us from talking about the things that we really do need to be talking about?
Ooh, yeah, a lot of factors. Maybe near the top of my list to answer that question is that the devil is so good at convincing us that if we said something, if we found the courage, people would be stunned and disgusted and ashamed, and they'd run the other way, and they'd jump in online and, you know, tell the world about our dirty secrets. Actually, and I know humans are humans and Christians are still sinners, but what I've experienced is when I came, you know, part of the book is my own story of keeping a secret pornography addiction to myself for a lot of years. And it wasn't until I talked Taboo that I really kind of escaped the grip of that. What I've seen is that when I've confessed my sins to other people, and I've seen it happen in small groups and in church, the reaction is 99% of the time really beautiful. It's reminders of forgiveness in Jesus. It's people praying for us. It's other people saying, you know what, I struggle with the same thing too. So I think the devil just, he way overestimates the terrible reaction we're supposedly going to get. And that kind of keeps us quiet, just hoping and praying. If I don't say anything, maybe me and Jesus can tackle this on our own. And I'm here to tell you he's wrong and he's deceiving you. And there's a lot of great people in your life that God has put right there to help you with that one thing you're scared to talk about.
Sometimes the thing that we're scared to talk about is actually obvious to other people. we just imagine we're hiding it from everybody. And they're like, oh, yeah, shocking. Yeah, we kind of already knew that. Talk about the strain that secrets and not talking about the things we need to be talking about. Talk about the strain that puts not just on our interpersonal relationship, but the strain that that puts on our relationship with God.
Yeah. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, whoever conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Or New Testament, James 5 verse 16, confess your sins to one another, not just to God, but to one another, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So here are promises of spiritual prosperity, of finding mercy, of being healed. So the way that God often grows us and helps us get, you know, over feeling stuck in our faith is through the prayers, the encouragement, the accountability, and the forgiveness of other people. You know, really near the top of my list, when I think about my own addiction and in the past, was I actually came, I was going to church every Sunday in the midst of that. I was reading my Bible every day. I actually had memorized all the key passages about sexual purity. I memorized them, Matthew 5, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Thessalonians 4. But even in the midst of all that connection with the Word of God, I was doubting my own forgiveness because of the depth of my own sinfulness.
Hmm.
And for me, the biggest prosperity wasn't just, you know, changing the habits that I had. The biggest blessing for me in telling someone else was that they could tell me that Jesus died for that sin too. And then I thought, maybe I'm not going to make it. Maybe I'm not really repentant. Maybe I don't really believe in Jesus. And someone said, no, Mike, yet you're sinning, you're struggling, but you are a child of God. And they brought me back to the cross. So yeah, I want to see habits change, but more than anything, I want to see people free from that sense of condemnation to truly believe that we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God.
We're talking with Mike Novotny. His latest book, Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. You can find him and be listening to his podcast at timeofgrace.org. We are giving away copies of Taboo today, not the game, but the book. 877-933-2484 is the number. You want to text the word book to 877-933-2484. First of all, thank you for being so transparent. Like, that's a huge part of this. Modeling this is an act of not just honesty, but it's also leadership. So can you talk a little bit about the challenge we face when our pastors and other people in Christian leadership act as if there's literally nothing ever wrong with their lives? Like, because I'm not sure that's leadership, and it makes it really hard to then not feel like I shouldn't ever say anything because I'm supposed to be better than I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a huge issue. All 29 chapters in this book actually come from sermons I preached on Sunday morning. And what I noticed every single time was what I call the boomerang effect, that I might've been someone's pastor for a year or two or 10 years, but they would never talk about the abortion or the abuse or the affair or the depression or the time they tried to take their own life until I talked about it first. And I didn't necessarily have to say, hey, I've struggled or I've done the same thing too. But if I would just, talk about a taboo topic with compassion and open Bible with high standards, I'm not watering that down, but with lots of forgiveness in Jesus. Wow, Carmen, the way that people would talk back, if I said, let's talk about this, they would say, oh, that's me too. And it taught me that huge lesson. I mean, I think you're asking about pastors, but I think for everyone who's listening, you don't have to be a ministry leader. I think that applies to parents, that our kids might be struggling with something and we wish they would just tell us on their own. But often we have to start that conversation to make sure that it's safe, that they can talk back. If you're in a small group Bible study or just hang out with some Christian friends for coffee once a month, you can really set the tone of talking about difficult things. And I've just been amazed at the responses that people have once the conversation is started. They don't want to start it. They're too nervous. It's too awkward, too taboo. But if God gives you the courage to start it, man, in families, in churches, such great things happen. I'm seeing that right now in our own spiritual community, and it is such a beautiful thing.
All right. We're going to ask you right after a very brief break to share with us some practical ways to actually initiate conversations on very tough topics, because we want to be the people who do this. We just aren't quite sure we know how. So we recognize that not talking is not helping, right? You know that not talking is not helping. Well, we're going to get ourselves some help here in just a moment. Mike Novotny is here. The book is Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Hey, I really like it that you listen whenever you want, wherever you are, at all times of the day and night. That is so cool. So thank you so very much for all the ways in which you support this ministry with your prayers and words of encouragement. Right now, in order for this podcast to be available everywhere all the time for everyone, I actually need your help. Could you support this podcast right now so that more people in more places at every hour of every day could hear about Jesus and grow in their relationship with him? click the link in the show notes or give now at myfaithradio.com. And thank you so much again for listening to this podcast. We're talking with Mike Novotny. He is, among other things, the author of Taboo, Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. You can find him at timeofgrace.org. Mike, we've got a question on the text line that I would like for us to address before we do the sort of practical ways to get into conversations about these topics. Andrew is a fairly new Christian. We are his community of believers. And so Andrew is the guy who has the questions that everybody is asking, but doesn't take time to text. And Andrew actually does. And so we love Andrew so much. So Andrew wants to know, how many times can you repent of the same sin?
Oh, wouldn't it be scary if I could give you a number?
Right. What I was in the midst of texting back to Andrew when we ran out of time because the music quit, I was going to say, like, every time the Spirit moves you to repent is how many times? That is how many times. So,
yes.
What do you say?
There's one page in my Bible that's more worn out than all the others because of what I've been through, and it's Romans 7 and 8, where the Apostle Paul, he writes Romans 25 years after becoming a Christian. So he's not brand new to this. And he still says, the things that I hate, these sinful things, I keep on doing them. So Paul kind of implied this battle against our own sinful nature, it's going to endure for a long time. And we get up and fight and fight and fight. But despite the struggle, I love his conclusion. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to rescue me? Thanks be to God, it's Jesus. And he starts chapter 8 by saying, right now, because of the cross, there is absolutely no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So, Andrew, if you're repenting, if you're fighting, that is a sign of real, genuine faith. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't care. You do the thing, shrug, do it again, and not regret it. So I think it's a real great sign, even if you're not where you want to be, the fact that the Spirit is still in you, longing for the will of God. So no, there's no limit, number of sins, and then you're kicked out of the kingdom. We continue to battle against sin until we see our Savior face to face.
That is so good. Thank you so much for not just your sensitivity, but for your humor. Like, I like the way you talk, not just what you're saying, but the way you say it. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we need some practical help here.
Yes.
Very, very practically. All right. I want to be addressing, I don't know, pick a taboo topic. Suicide. I want to be talking about salvation. I don't know. Pick a taboo topic and help me enter in.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a chance to do this in a really practical way every year when my wife and I lead a small group in our home. So very often I'll kind of pick people who are fairly new to our church that I don't really know, and they don't have many connections, but maybe they, you know, recognize me from Sunday morning. So here I am sitting in my living room with 10, 12 people who really don't know each other. We just met 5 minutes ago, and I'm trying to establish an environment where we can talk about all the things. And so, Carmen, here's how I generally phrase it. I said, you know, this is a confidential place, and I want for the next 12 weeks us to deeply love each other and help each other as much as we can. And so if you're struggling in your marriage and you're not sure if you want to be married, please tell us about that, because I want to pray for that, because you're going to need prayers for that. Or if you're struggling with your sexual orientation, or you find it really hard to forgive your father or your ex, I do my best to try to name like the top 15 taboo things and basically say, this is the place where we talk about that. And if you find the courage to say it, I'm going to be proud of you for your courage. I'm going to pray for you. I promise. I'm going to keep it in confidence. We're going to forgive you in Jesus' name. So as long as we're here as brothers and sisters in faith, let's actually help each other. Let's not confess, well, sometimes I speed, or, you know, sometimes I get frustrated with the kids. Of course, everyone does. No, I'm trying to really set that tone to say, I'm not going to force any deep, dark secrets out of you. But if you're going through something, God put you and me here in the same room to help each other. So let's help each other in Jesus' name.
God put us here in the same room to help each other. I'm not sure that many people are experiencing that, even in their church small group, certainly not in larger gatherings. And so, first of all, I appreciate that you model for us what really any of us and all of us could be doing. We could all be reaching out to, you know, 10 other people and inviting them to our home and saying, hey, for the next 12 weeks, we're going to be a small group and we're going to talk about all of these taboo things. Like, we could use your book as a entry point into those conversations. We could, I mean, you could, if you're listening right now and you're like, I really want to be having these conversations, but I need a resource. Well, that's kind of what this book provides. And so the book is Taboo: Topics Christians Should Be Talking About But Don't. We're giving away copies today. So text the word book to 877-933-2484. Mike, when you think about time of grace, when you think about what you are seeking to communicate day in and day out through that podcast and the ministries related to it, what's your hope? What's your goal?
Mm. Yeah, with this book and with our broader ministry, if we could get as close as we can to that description of Jesus in John 1 verse 14, that he came from the Father full of grace and truth. As I kind of look around at the broader Christian culture, I was actually reading your website just before we came on, and I was smiling here in my office by myself, the description of you of like, I'm going to tackle tough topics, but I'm going to do it with gentleness and respect and have a great conversation. And I really think, you know, that description is what we're after. We never, ever want to water down the Bible because it's difficult. We never want to give people a free pass to sin. God calls us to obedience and holiness and repentance. But I don't want to emphasize those things so much that I stop listening or stop being empathetic. I want to address something like transgenderism by talking with people who are trans and learning like, okay, tell me about this story. When I've done that, I've learned like, wow. Here's a community of people who is so deeply distressed by an experience that I've never had. Now, it doesn't change my interpretation of Genesis 1 and 2, and God is the one who makes us male and female. But it stops me from being just full of truth and helps me to be full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. And I found that when I've spoken to people face-to-face who are gay or, you know, different political party or whatever it might be, I don't know, for me, it gets me 2% closer to that ideal that we're striving for. Let's preach the Bible and not be ashamed of a single syllable. And let's do it with such obvious love that the world, even if it doesn't believe in Jesus yet, feels heard, feels respected, feels listened to. So that's my goal. John, I'm praying all the time. God, give me a John 1:14 message. Give me a John 1:14 heart that we could be full of grace and truth, just like Jesus.
Anxiety, depression, race, marriage, adultery, politics, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, sexual intimacy, divorce, suicide, alcohol, pornography. Mm-hmm. You want to enter into conversations about these taboo topics? Mike Novotny offers us Taboo. It is a book that is designed to help Christians start talking about the things we don't talk about. We are giving away copies today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. You can connect with Mike and get the Time of Grace podcast at timeofgrace.org. Mike, what a delight.
Thanks so much for having me, Carmen. This was awesome.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. Thank you again for being with me here today on this special edition of Mornings with Carmen during our Faith Radio Spring fundraiser. There is still time for you to jump in online at myfaithradio.com or by texting the word give to 877-933-2484. The ministry of Faith Radio is always expanding, and we're always seeking to bring new voices to you that are going to encourage you in your walk of faith and equip you as an ambassador of the King and the Kingdom in the midst of the kingdoms of this world. And so Mike Novotny is one of those new voices. Didn't you love hearing him? Well, the Time of Grace radio show is actually going to start on Faith Radio this coming Monday afternoon. So be be planning in advance to tune in to the Time of Grace radio show and hear more of Mike Novotny encouraging you in your walk of faith each and every day. Help us to expand the mission of Faith Radio further and further to reach more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Text the word GIVE to 877-933-2484. Or give online at myfaithradio.com. Tomorrow, we'll be back to regular programming. So love it if you would jump in on the spring fundraiser today. Have a great day, and God bless.